This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris on the Paracast, we've got a fascinating guest, first time on the show, all about conspiracy theories. We'll hear about that later on. But right now, as you know, a lot of what happens on the Paracast doesn't happen on the show. It happens in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. So, for example, last week we had Nick Redfern. He had a book out called Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind, whether the premature deaths of certain people may have been related to UFOs or some other conspiracy. Well, Nick occasionally participates in the forums. So when some questions were asked by our listeners, Nick showed up to answer them. And then there's a thread that started with Ryan Skinner's appearance a couple of weeks back about the latest brouhaha or chit-chat about the Skinwalker Ranch and things around it. Of course, he had a brand new book out to promote. And that has really started a big discussion. Chris, you got yourself involved in that.
It's good to see we have new signups every week. It's a growing online community here at forum.theparacast.com. And, of course, we invite all our listeners to get involved, ask questions, share some of your thoughts and opinions. We have a new forum poster who has been splashing that particular thread dry. I'm not sure what to say about it, Gene, except for he sure says the same thing over and over again.
Well, it's like insanity. You keep thinking if you say the same thing over and over again, it's going to change. Now, I'm not saying here this guy is insane. You know, I have no idea. He might just be starting trouble. He might sincerely believe what he says.
Yeah, I think he does believe what he says. However, he does have a rather strident persona.
Yes, we get a few of those. Occasionally, we have to ban them. You know, we say, you know what? Too strident, out the door. But we do have a terms of service at the forums. And it says basically that you're not supposed to insult people. Don't be too inflammatory. But we tend to be relaxed about enforcement. And we're not going to liken that to the claims about how we enforce our borders here in the USA. But we let a person have their say. And then if they get a bit abusive or a bit too abusive, we say, time out. Sometimes we ban them for a couple of weeks or more. Sometimes we throw them out. But we don't do that very often.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, we have a very close-knit forum community with, I must say, Gene, some of our listeners are way more up to speed in many aspects of the subjects that we cover here, way more up to speed than I am. And it's very rare that I go on to the forums and not learn something new. And I think that's a sign of a good, vibrant online community where people are sharing their particular aspects of their research, their opinions, their theories. And for the most part, I think we have a really good give and take that occurs. But like you pointed out, sometimes it gets a little heated and new people are given a little slack at the beginning. But ad hominem attacks and calling, name calling and that sort of thing just doesn't fly. We do ask all our new signups to get involved, but, have a little bit of a pleasant decorum about you, yourself and the information that you're sharing.
It's interesting about forums is that somebody can be a really sweet person when you talk to them on the phone, or we have them on the show, or we just meet them personally. And then they get into a forum. And I guess it's the feeling of anonymity in the forum because suddenly they become a different person. It's Jekyll and Hyde. It's Lon Chaney becoming the Wolfman. Whatever it is, they become totally the opposite of what you think they are. And that gets to be strange.
It does. But again, I think it's important to have a vibrant online community, because that's where people are really challenged in terms of their belief systems, their opinions. And we have some really bright, up-to-speed people that really are very good at getting a person to really back up their assertions, back up their theories, back up their opinions with some research and with some data, and responding the same way over and over again, you know, using, you know, C post 69, C post 150. It gets a little, I think it wears a little thin on some of the, you know, the more longtime posters. Some people have been posting here ever since the Paracast started back in 2006. And we have quite a number of posters that have posted over 1,000 messages on the forums. And I think it's important to share your ideas and back them up. But to badger people, to sound like a broken record, you know, to use, you know, kind of cliche terms over and over again, it gets old. It does, Gene.
Well, here's an example of that. I'm not going to criticize the offender, but we had a lot of posts from Ted Rowe of NARCAP. Now, NARCAP is one of the most serious, energetic, dedicated UFO organizations on the planet. They don't call them UFO. They call them unidentified aerial phenomena. Regardless, I guess they don't want to have the toxic feeling of UFOs. Ted has been very gracious with his time in the forums. He's posted a lot of messages. He spent hours in there talking to our listeners, detailing his viewpoints. And we had one or more people, mostly one person, and everything he said, you know, seemed to get attacked over and over again. For a while, I think Ted got disgusted and left. But then he's come back from time to time. And the thing is here, if you get a very well-known guest in our forums, and we've had lots of people there. Richard Dolan has been in there on occasion in past years, and others. Nick Redfern, of course, comes in occasionally. Show them respect. But that's true with anybody. If you disagree with them, don't be disagreeable. That sounds like a terrible cliche. But let them have their say. Say your piece and get out. But don't just go over and over and on again about the same points. Get on with it, man.
Right. Or tune into some of the humor threads that are on the forum. There's some good ones. Or the music thread, which has blossomed into this, you know, multi-thousand post monster. Or tune into Consciousness and the Paranormal, which is rapidly approaching the record, I think, for a number of posts. We're almost up to 2,500. There are some really good posts on there, and there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. And I think if you just spend a little time and go through, look up some of the subjects that you're interested in, you're going to learn a lot.
Some of them are pretty crazy. Like, for example, 10 rules for dealing with the police. What? I don't know.
Yeah. Don't get caught.
Don't get caught. I think that's really three words that really sum things up. Don't get caught. And that's it. But, you know, they cover anything and everything. We don't allow personal ads and stuff. There are a few things we don't allow. If we catch you doing it, we're just going to say bye-bye. Go to forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. This is not a paid ad. You don't pay anything to join the forums. Just sign up, hang out, and say something. And there you go. Today, we're back to conspiracy theories. And I got a letter from our old friend Tim Beckley, who is sometimes an assistant producer for the show because he has a lot of great ideas. And he says, what about Olav Phillips, who is someone who's been specializing in conspiracy research for a number of years? He's been on all the major shows. He's been on TV. And he talks about secret space program in caps, exotic aircraft, high technology, foreign policy, prehistory, and mysterious civilizations, among other things. Of course, we have conspiracies everywhere. We don't believe anybody, whether it's the IRS and that story, whether it's Benghazi, whatever it is, we don't believe it. We don't believe the government. We don't believe anybody. And into that realm, we get people who specialize in the things that people have questions about, and maybe sometimes or more than sometimes those theories are really not what they're cracked up to be, but What the heck? Let's see what happens. Olav Phillips, coming in a moment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, Mike Pence with Midas Resources Incorporated, Senior Monetary Specialist. With foreign countries going bankrupt and states within the United States going bankrupt, not to mention all the Ponzi schemes in the marketplace, do you think your money and investments are safe? Of course not. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. I can help answer any questions you have about protecting your money, whether it be personal possession or holding precious metals in an IRA. Gold carries a 6,000-year history. It is the only real and lasting money in the world. Paper currencies have come and gone. Governments have toppled. The world map has changed many times, and yet gold still thrives in almost every country. Gold is the ultimate store of wealth. Central banks continue to maintain reserves of gold. Common sense begs the question, why? Let me help you answer that question. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. Call now, and I will send you free information on precious metals. Call Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're joined on the Paracast this week by Olav Phillips. He is a conspiracy researcher. And one thing I was saying in the previous segment, Olav, is that it seems that we don't believe anything and anyone anymore. And let's start with that before we go into some of the things that our listeners are interested in, some of the things that Chris and I are interested in. But first of all, How did you become, among all the things one can become, a conspiracy researcher?
Well, it started a long time ago. I used UFOs as the gateway, so to speak. When I was 8 years old, I saw something anomalous, and in a struggle for my young mind to understand what I saw, I went to my elementary school library, and they had a bunch of books on UFOs from Jacques Vallée and Jalen Hynek and others. And so I started to read them. You know, I couldn't completely understand them, being that I was only eight. But they, you know, mass market paperbacks are written in such a way that most people can understand them. So I use that as an entry point. The longer I researched UFOs, the older I got, the more I was driven toward the conspiracy end of it. Because there's, within ufology, as you are well aware, there's a lot of conspiracy. And so from there, I kind of branched out.
Okay, conspiracy. Looking at UFO field particularly, is the conspiracy the alleged decision by governments to withhold the truth about the subject?
In ufology, I think there's a lot of conspiracies. there's definitely that one in the whole disclosure movement. I think there's also, you know, the CIA has shown time and time again that they use UFOs as a cover for testing. You know, when they were flying the A-12, the predecessor to the SR-71, they used UFO sightings as covers for that. People would see this bizarre-looking silver thing streak across the sky at high speed, and they'd say, oh, it's a UFO. It was actually an A-12. So, you know, I think that showing that behavior, you know, there's also a conspiracy to cover up top secret aircraft by explaining them as UFOs, amongst other things.
Well, that raises a question that we've discussed from time to time in the PowerCast, Olaf, and that is, what portion of the so-called UFO mystery is itself just a cover-up for test aircraft? And we can go back to Roswell, even. And whatever else you think about Roswell, and maybe you have your own opinions, one possible theory is not balloons, but there was a test aircraft, and they created this whole story revolving around possible flying saucers or a flying saucer crashing to hide that fact.
You know, I think that Roswell is the anomaly. You know, I do believe that some UFOs are UFOs, that they're alien. But, you know, in the case of Roswell, you're talking about the 509th. It's the only nuclear-equipped bombing squadron in the world at that time. And they were the creme de la creme of the Army Air Force, you know. And these guys, a lot of them were combat veterans. Pretty much all of them knew what an aircraft looked like. And I have trouble believing that Jesse Marcel, when he went out to the field and saw this object crash in the ground, that he couldn't identify it even as an exotic aircraft. So I think Roswell may legitimately have been a crashed UFO. But if it was a crashed exotic aircraft, you know, it would have been something that was completely alien to him, which is possible. I mean, there are some pretty odd aircraft that we fly. So that very well could, but I think if one thing has got a shot at being alien, it's probably Roswell.
Hola, this is Chris. That brings up a very interesting, you know, possibility, but it also does not address what some researchers, including Joseph Farrell, who come up with the idea that Roswell could have possibly been some sort of test of Nazi saucer technology. Now, Farrell has gone through quite a bit of research as an Oxford scholar and come up with some real interesting, intriguing documentation that suggests that the U.S. purloined scientists with paperclip and also technology. And Farrell even goes a step further and states that this could have been some sort of Nazi secret project that was being operated by the Germans coming into our airspace, and that alarmed the U.S. to such a degree that the whole thing was palmed off as some sort of mistaken identity of a balloon. And then in the early days of Roswell, once it, you know, came back into the mainstream back in the late 70s, early 80s, then the whole alien angle came in. Where do you come down on the state of technology in 1947 and, you know, this whole idea of Nazi saucer technology?
Well, I've actually written a lot about it. You know, I do believe that the Germans had UFOs, what we would perceive to be UFOs. You know, the Hanabu. I don't know about the Vril and some of Schomburger's vortex-based stuff, but definitely the Hanabu. I think you look at some of the other sightings that have been seen, they seem to fit that mode, right? There was a... Oh, boy, what was that one? There was one, I forget the... This always happens to me when I'm on an interview, right? The one, it was like in New York, upstate New York, and it crashed. And they fished it out. It was a bell-shaped object. It actually looked a lot like the bell is supposed to, the Glocka.
I think you're talking about Pennsylvania and Kecksburg.
Pennsylvania, Kecksburg, yes. The Kecksburg UFO, you know, it's got that kind of bell shape. The hieroglyphics that people claim to have been, who've seen, could very well have been, you know, runic. Because, I mean, the Germans, if they were nothing else, you know, the upper echelons, at least, were very occultish. So writing runes on the side of it to imbue it with some sort of supernatural power is something that is not foreign to the upper echelons of the Third Reich. So I think that definitely is true. You know, and I'll take it a step further where, you know, guys like Igor Witowski and Nick Cook, who got it from Igor Witowski, and Joseph Farrell, who got it from Nick Cook and Igor Witowski, where the logical end of what they've researched is a breakaway civilization, right? The to me, when I hear about German technology at that time, and Henry Stevens wrote an amazing book on German technology in the late ends of the war, you know, synthetic blood, synthetic fuels, you know, guns that could shoot around corners, the first cruise missile, nuclear weapons that they tested. You know, I think they had the capability to do it. You know, I mean, the whole base 211 thing is totally feasible. They're, you know, the idea that Kammler took all the scientists out of Derisi and took them to 211 and somewhere else is totally legitimate. It could very well happen. You know, the Junkers 390 aircraft that he supposedly had six of, one of the things that people don't realize is that the Junkers 390 can actually be mid-air refueled, that the Germans had tested mid-air refueling a 390 with a 290. They made a flight to the extreme northern latitudes of Canada to test to see if they could actually bomb New York. And
at least they didn't bomb New York, but I wouldn't be here now if they did. We're going to do our break now, Olav. We have Olav Phillips, conspiracy researcher. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 square-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Now, we're moving into here what the Germans did, the things that they developed in World War II. And of course, our entire space program, Russia's entire space program, all were based on getting some of those German scientists to come aboard. Now, we can talk about a lot of cases and a lot more to cover, Olav, but I just wanted to ask you parenthetically here, what is it about German scientists that they seem to be ahead of the rest of the world when it came to early space programs, rocket ships, things like that?
You cannot answer. That is verboten.
Achte Lieber, and all that, or Oak My Liver, forget it.
You know, I don't really know. I mean, they've always, the Germans have always had a fixation with the, you know, physics. The Max Planck Institute is probably the top physics institution in the world. I mean, they led the way, and they always have on those, on physics and rocketry. Mathematics, for some reason, they did. I'm probably not qualified to answer that.
Well, yeah, you have a good point. Of course, Victor Schaubarger and his vortex theories about vortex behavior. One thing that has always intrigued me is the idea that the original, you know, mother lode case that brought in the modern age of ufology, of course, Kenneth Arnold in June of 47.
Right.
There have been some revisionist conspiracy investigators that have suggested that he saw a flight of the Horton brothers, who were, you know, aircraft designers. They had a flying wing that was in development, and some have suggested that what Arnold actually saw was a formation of Horton flying wings.
Right, it's a Horton 229, I believe. Yeah, I think he probably did. And one other interesting thing that, well, there are a bunch of interesting things.
Wait a minute. You think Arnold saw terrestrial technology on his flight going by Mount Rainier?
Yes.
Okay, so the whole flying saucer, flying disc thing,
well,
is predicated on a sighting of conventional technology.
He never said it was a flying saucer. He described it as, he actually said that it looked like it flew like a saucer. Like a saucer
skimming across the surface of a pond. But my point is this, that particular cultural meme started pretty much with the Arnold sighting and has a tremendous influence even 67 plus years later. So right. You're saying that this whole thing could be predicated on a misidentified aspect of our own terrestrial technology.
Yes, I it wouldn't be the first time, right? Like I said, the CIA used to cover up flights of the A-12, the predecessor of the SR-71, by saying that they were UFOs. And I'll take it one step further. After the Arnold sighting, one of the things that grew up in the late 40s and early 50s was this contactee movement. Right. I would argue to you that many of the individuals that had these contacts, like Adamski and others, who met with quote unquote Nordics were meeting with Germans. And one of the ways that I can demonstrate that to you is that there's a little known part of the Betty and Barney Hill story that never gets any attention at all.
When the uniforms.
Yeah. Well, not just the uniforms. There's actually something else. There is the uniforms that Barney Hill described the uniforms as being very German-like, that they were black with silver piping and they wore peaked caps like the Germans did. But one of the other interesting elements is that during the abduction, the Hills claimed that they were shepherded around by an individual who they described as being a redheaded Irishman. And what's interesting about that is that it's not commonly known, but there were factions of the Irish government during World War II that were very sympathetic to the Germans. In fact, the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, who spent 50 years actively fighting the English, actually sent people to Germany to be trained by the Nazis. They were equipped by the Nazis to fight the English, and they actually fronted soldiers. This notion, the Irish of the Irish and the Germans, that they actually fronted soldiers that fought in the Spanish Civil War on the side of the fascists. They had groups of individuals that were Irish that fought with the SS legions during World War II. So it's not insane that there would be a redheaded Irishman on a crew of Germans on a German UFO.
Well, how far do you think the Germans advanced in the things they were doing? A German UFO is not something that can go into outer space, is it? It's just something that's an aircraft shaped like a disc.
But why wouldn't it be able to go into outer space?
Well, we're talking about the 1940s here.
Yeah, but they also detonated a nuclear device in the 40s.
They did?
Yes.
Ahead of the Manhattan Project?
Ahead of the Manhattan Project. In fact, there's one strain of conspiracy theory that it seems to go down the path of we would never have been able to generate enough nuclear material to build the bombs that dropped in Japan. So they actually got it from the Germans. They captured it.
We have a lot of these stories revolving around how advanced the Nazis were. But if that is true and they're so advanced, how come they lost the war?
Because they had a madman who ran their country. You know, the German generals, right? These guys were Prussians. You know, a lot of them were Prussian soldiers. They grew up in a militaristic family lineage. I mean, they were a lot of these guys, like Rommel, were born to fight, right? But some of the decisions that were made were political. I also think that you can't long term run a country on fear and tyranny, which they did, which it'll eventually break down. And that's why Rommel and a number of generals, high ranking generals, attempted to kill Hitler, right, at the Wolf's Lair. But no, I mean, if they hadn't started a two front war, if they had not tried to attempt what Napoleon had failed to do, it would have been a very different conversation.
If they have been able to take Kursk in a timely fashion, of course, getting totally bogged down in Stalingrad, the war would have turned out probably differently if they had reached the oil regions in the Caucasus. But
exactly.
One thing that I think I should point out here is that by the time that they invaded Poland and, you know, in 1939 and the war started, they had totally reinvented warfare with the mechanization of tanks and rapid deployment of troops, the whole idea of blitzkrieg, was so far ahead of conventional World War One dig trenches and slog it out,
right,
that the reason why some of the R&D projects that were already under full steam, they were developing rockets, they were developing all sorts of technologies. Hitler, I think, in my interpretation, Hitler, you know, had such a big head because conventional means of obtaining territory and defeating armies was so efficient that there was really no need to emphasize super weapons. And by the time the Nazis realized, or Hitler realized, that the war was not going their way, they dumped all sorts of money, resources, et cetera, into developing high technology and getting it operational. But it was too late. One theory about the Battle of the Bulge, for instance, which was the last great offensive by the Nazis at the end of World War II, one theory says that they were trying to get into Belgium so that they could have a closer platform to fire off V2 rockets, which could then reach possibly New York.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. I mean they had always put a lot of money into R&D. I mean, one of the things they did fundamentally change warfare. I mean, a lot of the books that people read even today about like tank warfare were written by Rommel or Hans Guderian or these, generals that controlled vast tank armies. They put so much faith in it that, I mean, they built the largest cannon ever built. I mean, it took like 3 weeks to set up and fire.
Well, it's hard to have a war that way if you have to wait 3 weeks to fire a shot. Let's do our break now, Olav. Olav Phillips joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time. Perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No-No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
This is
big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now. Only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Well, I am not going to attempt to imitate a German accent. They do tell me that Steinberg stands for Stone Mountain in German. I don't know.
Stone Hill.
Stone Hill. Okay, I'll climb the Stone Hill next week and see where we go. Well, Phillips, conspiracy theory researcher, is here. We're talking about possible Nazi inventions, things that may have really exceeded the progress of science, but because of foul-ups in the tactics of World War II, we are not now under a Nazi flag. Aren't we lucky, Chris?
Yeah, Gene, I think we are. Of course, Tracy Torme's show Sliders had a number of episodes where the heroes of the show were going into parallel realities, and one of those realities was the Nazis winning the war, which I found very, very intriguing, very creative. But Olav, you know, we've heard from Joseph Farrell, from Henry Stevens, I think Ronaldo, what was his name? Venato, I forget his name.
Right.
And other writers that the Nazis were actually dialing in some highly esoteric potential technologies like the Nazi Bell Project, I think, which was being R&D'd in Czechoslovakia. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
But where do you come down on some of the more exotic theories that involve red mercury, some sort of anti-gravity potential, that sort of thing? Do we have any indication and any documentation or proof that these technologies became operational or near operational?
Well, one of the pieces of proof that I've heard is on another radio show. The host was interviewing a stealth engineer who had worked at Area 51, legitimate Area 51, right? Not UFOs. He worked on like the stealth fighter and the A-12 and SR-71 and stuff. And the host asked him if he had ever heard of the Bell. I guess it's entered that pop culture meme now. And this guy had said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And so the host described this object to him, how it looked. It's, you know, bell shaped and, you know, runs on a weird kind of mercury fuel and all this. And the guy said, oh, I know what you're talking about. I think all that stuff went to Wright-Patterson. where they tested it and built it. So, you know, that was pretty interesting to me. I mean, if you want a lot of proof about the Bell Project and some of the exotic weapon systems that they built, you know, if you look at Henry Stevens' books, they're fantastic. I mean, he's really dialed it in. As far as them becoming operational, I think, you know, I go back to the contactee era, right? You know, when you've got guys like Valiant Thor, which him being a Venusian makes no sense, but you've got people like Valiant Thor and Dawn and Jill and the rest of them, they're going to the Pentagon and briefing the Pentagon. You know, they're flying around and meeting with people. If you look at some of the designs for this, the Venusian scout ships that Adamski had fronted, they're very similar to the Hounabou. You know, they look like a Hounabou. I mean, it even has the domes on the bottom and everything that is kind of quintessential to the Hounabou design. So that would seem to indicate to me that, you know, assuming that the Desmond Leslie and George Adamski and Howard Menger, and they really did see this stuff. And I think there's a chance they did. You know,
I beg to differ with you on that. I mean, Adamski actually showed Ray Stanford and his twin brother Rex how he was able to create some of his most celebrated photographs, many sure. of which are palmed off as true events and true you know, vehicles today. Basically, I think it was the end cap for a Polish vacuum cleaner was the famous one, and it had three ping pong balls underneath. And if you look carefully, you can see where the glue spilled out from one of them. I don't look at Adamski and Williamson and Daniel Fry and George Van Tassel and others from that era as having complete legitimate experiences.
Oh, I think
maybe initially they did, but yes. Later on, I don't think they did.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you 100%. But it came from somewhere. And I think what I was about to say was that I think that they may have had an experience in the beginning, and then especially with Adamski, he embellished it. I mean, it massively embellished it. I mean, book after book after book after book after book of embellishment. But I think that somewhere in there, he did experience something. And the descriptions of what he perpetuated going forward, they do have an uncanny description of a Hounabou. Now, I would again agree with you 100% that I don't think that he had all the meetings that he says he did. It's impossible. I mean, he admitted, as you said, that he faked a number of the photos. But somewhere he saw something, and I think that he took it too far after that. He didn't stop. And that happens over and over and over and over again in ufology, right?
Yes. So I'm going to name some names.
Let me throw something out in here, of course. I don't know if you ever read the Adamski expose issue from Jim Moseley's Saucer News. We have it posted at jimmoseley.com, which is a memorial site that Kurt Collins is running, that I established for the works of Jim Moseley. This goes back to like 1957. And he quoted Adamski as saying once, sometimes you have to go through the back door to present the truth. But it's also true that several years before Flying Saucers Have Landed appeared, his first book, he had a story where he met some kind of higher being that he at that time labeled Jesus Christ, giving the same messages of peace and brotherhood.
Oh, Jesus, Gene.
So we only heard this from Ray Palmer, who said he saw a copy of it in the early days. The point being here, of course, is that Adamski used the popular meme of the 1950s flying saucers and had his being come here in a flying saucer. It had nothing to do with maybe seeing a test aircraft or anything like that, just to present that possibility.
Well, Olaf, who was handling Adamski? Who put him up to all this? Do you think it's just a coincidence that the contactee movement, you know, arose in our culture and had a profound impact that even lasts till today? Do you think that there was some sort of conspiracy behind that? Do you think that there was an organized attempt to mislead the public through these contactee figures?
Well, there has been in the past. right? That there has been infiltration. And what it, a lot of times, you know, in the ufology movement, one of the reasons that I started to get out of the ufology movement is that everybody points at everybody else and goes, you're a disinformation agent. Right. And, you know, you go to a conference and they say, there are three guys in suits back there. They're part of the CIA. Right. But I think that there was some level of penetration into these organizations and disinformation was fed through them at some level to cover up test aircraft. And even without the Germans, you know, Avro tried to test it. Boeing tried to build a disc-shaped aircraft. So the thought was there.
They were all spectacular failures.
Yes, they were.
So that further mystifies the sightings and makes people jump off planet, basically.
Yeah, but if you look at when they first, a lot of those test failures were, you know, in the 50s and in the 60s. And I think if you look at the first rockets that von Braun built, here's the German expert on rocketry. When von Braun first started building rockets for NASA, they were spectacular failures as well. I mean, there's an interesting thing in Paperclip that, like the Russians, when they had their own version of Paperclip, but a lot of the guys that they got who worked under Korolev were technicians, and they had I think much better success initially than we did. And what we got were scientists, right? So the people that Korolev had were operational. So, you know, that's why you see these rockets that come out of Russia and they launch them again and again and again, and they never have these failures. But for us, you know, we build these over exotic aircraft and they tend to fail after a while, right?
Well, let me ask you though here. We talk about failure after failure with American rockets. Is it also possible that the Russians had failures too? It's just that they withheld the information from the public. They weren't quite as forthcoming as we were then. And I want to just kind of stop it here because we're going to have to do a break. And I want to ask you more about whether some contact claims were really generated by some kind of military disinformation and a bunch of other subjects that we'll get into. Our guest is Olav Phillips, a conspiracy theory researcher, and you're seeing that now, folks. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.